Herzlich willkommen bei den Feuilletönen. Für euch sitzt hinter dem Mikro Thorsten Martinsen. Hallo. Ja, ihr hört es schon. Nur einer von uns beiden. Und das bedeutet natürlich auch, dass Frau Eichler nicht dabei sein kann. Und sie konnte auch nicht bei der Jazz Ahead dabei sein. Ihr müsst also mit mir Vorlieb nehmen. Was erwartet euch in dieser Sendung? In dieser Sendung erwarten euch Audioclips von Gesprächen, die ich mit Menschen geführt habe. Und beginnen möchte ich mit einem Gespräch, was ich mit Sebastian geführt habe, der aus London kommt. Und ich ging am UK-Stand vorbei und er begrüßte mich mit den Worten Welcome to the UK. Und daraus ist dann dieses Gespräch geworden. Aber hört selbst. So, ich bin, wie ihr wisst, auf der Jazz Ahead. Die Feuilletöne sind auf der Jazz Ahead. Und ich habe einen wunderbaren Menschen getroffen, der mir gegenüber sitzt. Das ist der Sebastian. Sebastian, magst du dich unseren HörerInnen vorstellen? Was machst du? Wer bist du?
Also ich betreibe eine Jazz-Website, londonjazznews.com. Und als eure deine Zuhörer, die es hören, werden wir unseren Namen verändert haben. Und zwar machen wir das mit einem großen 15. Geburtstagsfeier und wir werden als UK Jazz News ernannt werden, also ab diesem Nachmittag. Und das ist, als ich dies spreche, das ist das erste Mal, dass ich das erklärt habe. Wir haben eine riesige Torte, um unseren 15. Geburtstag zu feiern. Und ich mache ziemlich viel Übersetzung aus dem Deutschen ins Englische. Und ich bin immer froh, wenn Deutsche mich fragen, Sebastian, ist das korrekt? Denn es ist nicht überall in Europa der Fall, aber in Deutschland machen die Leute sich Sorgen, dass Englisch, das in ihrem Namen erscheint, korrekt sei. Und einer meiner Übersetzungskunden ist hier Jazz Ahead, mache die Pressemitteilung, ich übersetze ins Englische und so. Und als niemand sich vorgestellt hat, einen britischen Stand zu betreiben, haben die Sibylle Konitschki und Götz Bühler mich gefragt, ob ich das machen könnte, ob ich das machen möchte, ob ich das machen würde. Und das ist eine Ehre, denn ich weiß, dass überall in Europa und besonders seit dem Brexit gibt es ein latent Demand, eine Anfrage für britische Musiker. Die Leute interessieren sich in was bei uns passiert. Und hier auf der Messe in Bremen ist meine Kunstform sehr einfach. Ich nehme eine junge Musikerin oder einen jungen Musiker und wir machen einen kleinen Spaziergang hier um die Gemeinschaft, in dieses Familientreffen für Jazz. Und wir treffen Leute Leute, die vielleicht andere Leute kennen. Und das macht mir Spaß. Ich fühle mich sehr erfüllt, diese junge Generation von britischer Musik zu unterstützen, zu begleiten, Türen zu öffnen. Das bin ich. Dafür stehe ich.
Jetzt muss ich das natürlich fragen, ne? Warum kannst du so hervorragend Deutsch, für die Leute, die es nicht mitbekommen haben? Er kommt aus London, ne? Ja, warum kannst du so gut Deutsch?
Ja, ich bin Engländer, aber meine Mutter war Deutsche. Sie ist 36 ausgewandert. Ich habe wieder die deutsche Staatsbürgerschaft. Ich habe mein Perso. Und ich bin stolz, dass ich jetzt, also sie war Schauspielerin und für mich im kulturellen Bereich zu arbeiten und das im deutschsprachigen Raum zu machen, ist mir ich bin stolz und unser Land hier in Deutschland zu vertreten ist eine riesige Ehre. Das war sehr stressig, ein paar Monate. Also, wenn man irgendwas zum ersten Mal macht, dann ist das Stress. Also vielleicht ist die drei Viertel der Zeit sind verbracht nicht in Arbeit, sondern in sich Ängste zu machen. Und das war mein Fall. Und ich bin sehr froh, hier zu sein. Ich habe ein tolles Team jetzt, die alles ordentlich für mich machen. Und wir machen einen guten Job. Und der britische Stand ist sehr welcoming, sehr, also du bist nur vorbeigetreten. Erzähl mir, was passiert ist. Also du bist an unserem Stand vorbeigetreten. Und was ist dann danach passiert?
Welcome to the UK, hörte ich nur. Und ich war im Boot. Das war toll, ja.
Und diese Geschichte setze ich fort jetzt in diesem Interview. Und ich bin sehr froh, mit deinen Zuhörern zu sprechen. Also wir haben also auf dem Weg zum kleinen Studio hier Sultan Stevenson. Also wenn du Musik spielen wirst, also nach wir uns gesprochen haben auf deine Sendung, dann Sultan Stevenson, der ist ein wirklich, was er auf Deutsch ein Shootingstar nennen, was nicht Englisch ist. Da für uns ist er ein Rising Star.
Ja.
Und dass ich sehe, dass sehr viel Interesse in ihn. Er ist ein Pianist. Ich kenne die Familie sehr gut. Eigentlich hat er seinen Vater mitten in seinem Showcase gestern Abend erwähnt und ich machte einen Voice Note und ich habe das direkt an seinen Vater schicken können, um dann diese Verbindung zu machen mit seinen Eltern in England. Dafür bin ich da. Also diese Verbindungen zu machen, Eltern stolz zu machen. Denn Sultan ist ein wunderbarer Pianist und ein toller Typ und du musst ihn jetzt zuhören.
Okay, werden wir machen. Was ist das Besondere am britischen Jazz? Gibt es eine Besonderheit der britischen Jazz-Szene?
Ich gebe dir ein gutes deutsches Wort. Vielfalt.
Ja.
Es ist eine so lebendige Szene mit so vielen zwei Abzweigen. Und man kann nicht generalisieren. Es kommt immer die ganze Zeit sehr viel raus. London ist ein Melting Pot von Kulturen und das Niveau, wo alles passiert, ist unglaublich. Und diese Konnektivität Schade daran ist, dass es nicht unterstützt wird. Also unsere Behörden, unsere Musikindustrie, unsere Regierung will immer Leute nach Nordamerika schicken. In Austin, Texas waren 80 britische Bands, um ein Interesse zu erwecken, unsere unabhängige Musiker nach Europa zu exportieren. Also ich habe das diesmal ich habe ein Geschenk bekommen von Jazzerhead-Leuten, aber nächstes Jahr setze ich mich da, das muss unterstützt und sponsoriert worden und daran werde ich arbeiten. Also man kennt unsere Szene nicht gut genug man kennt unsere Pop-Szene sehr gut. Unsere klassische Szene auch, aber die Jazz-Szene in England, ja, man sollte ein bisschen ein Zeit komm uns zu besuchen in London. Es ist so viele Clubs, wo alles passiert und es ist immer so viel los.
Das war Sebastian Scotney und wir machen weiter mit einem weiteren Gespräch. Wir gehen in den hohen Norden, wir gehen nach Norwegen und wir gehen in eine Kultur, die nicht so furchtbar viele Menschen kennen, nämlich in die Kultur der norwegischen Samen. Darüber und über einiges mehr sprach ich mit Jon Kåre Hansen.
Dankeschön. Ich verstehe ein bisschen Deutsch, aber ich nicht spreche so viele. Ja, wir hat in Schule gelernt, viele Jahre way back. Ja, ich habe nicht praktiziert in 20, 30 Jahren. So. Entschuldigung, so I will try this in English and I hope everybody will understand. So I'm from Norway. Mm-hmm. I'm from the very northern part, almost by North Cape, which is as high as you can go on north of mainland Europe. And this is the area of the indigenous Sami people, the people that traditionally have been herding reindeer for thousands of years, and also been people of the mountains and people of the fishermen and farming. And today, Samis are modern, living in modern, but also many are still carrying on with the traditional reindeer herding and that lifestyle. And I'm a descendant of the Sami people, so I'm wearing my Sami clothes today and trying to represent Arctic Sami jazz music here at the Jazz Ahead. So this is what I do. I'm a guitar player. Mm-hmm. I am 45 years old. I have a master's degree in jazz guitar. And I think I've released something around 10 albums with different styles in jazz. Mm-hmm. Played a lot with singers. Written, composed a lot of music, a lot of songs. Write lyrics as well in English and Norwegian. And I have some Sami bands, and I try to now go deeper into my Sami roots. Maybe something you do when you get a bit older and you're more interested in where you come from. When you're younger, you're more interested in who am I. When you're getting a bit older, and my father passed away many years ago, and then I started to think, where do I come from? And that's where I started to dig a little bit more deeper. I always knew I was Sami since I was a child, but we never lived a Sami lifestyle, my family, because there's a long history in Norway where the Norwegian government has tried to suppress the Sami culture, and they made everybody speak Norwegian in school, and they were not allowed to do any of the traditional Sami culture. They were not allowed to joik, which is the Sami way of singing, or the style of singing. That was not a thing you could do without getting punished in a way. So a lot of people have negative experiences and have not been proud of being a Sami, because they were told that it's nothing to be proud of. But last 15 years maybe or so, there's been a change in the wind. There's been a big change. Now there's a new generation coming up, the generation of the parents that were not proud to be Sami. But now this new generation is really proud that they are special and they are Sami. Now they are putting on the traditional clothes, and we have these young people that are expressing themselves through music and art and all kinds of things with the Sami culture incorporated. So we have the Sami Eurovision, Norwegian Sami Eurovision contest, which is its own thing. It's not a Eurovision thing, but it's held in the same way. It's been broadcasted on Norwegian TV live, and so it's a really proud thing to be Sami. So I'm trying to put some of the Sami, and especially the Arctic elements, into my music. So I have this album now called the Finnmark Fantasia. Finnmark is the northernmost part of Norway where I'm from, and Fantasia is because this is a fantasy land for many people. There are many tourists in my area, and especially in the winter, people want to come from Germany, from all over Europe, from Asia, to see the Northern Lights and to experience dog sleighing, staying in an igloo ice hotel, to do crazy cold stuff, and to be in a place where there's no sunshine for 4 months. It's all dark, but there are minus 25 degrees and you can see the Northern Lights dancing above your head. All of this is part of who I am. In the summer, the sun shines 24/7, it shines in the middle of the night. It never gets dark, so it's a land of contrasts, and I try to bring this into my music, because how can you explain music? You have to tell a story, and this is the verbal story. Mm-hmm. So what you will hear when you hear the music, it might be something different, but these are my my ideas. I would describe this as Arctic chamber jazz. Mm-hmm. This album. I'm a guitar player. I play with a clean guitar sound. I play quite melodic. I love melody. Mm-hmm. I love a good melody. There are some definitely beat structured music, so I love a good rhythm to it. And this is also with electronic beats and electronic sounds, rhythmic sounds. So to me, that kind of portrays the ice and the harshness and the hardness and the stony climb or nature that we have in the north. You have some deep bass, which is also like nature to me, which can be like a drone thing or a windy thing or a stormy thing. And I also put like a nice, lush string quartet on top of this as an organic counterpoint, but also like a soft little warm blanket on top of this cold thing that's going on. And altogether, this is Arctic sounds of jazz, contemporary jazz, the way I feel it. I played a lot of standards. I have this in my previous recordings, and I've done a lot of tours with, yeah, traditional, great sounding swinging jazz, and I love to play this stuff. But I also love to try and get out the organic stuff that I have inside and where I come from as well. There are some great constellations in the north. Norwegian jazz scene, I think, is really exciting. People do a lot of exciting stuff in Norway. In the very north, there's this great duo, electronic duo called Legos from Tromsø. Mm-hmm. I really recommend to check them out. Mm-hmm. And this guy in Legos, guitar player, he's also the producer of my album. So the connection is there with the sounds that he is really great at creating. He also helped me create this landscape of sounds, the electronic stuff. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I've arranged all the strings and made all the music on this album. And I, of course, play the guitar as well as the lead person. But yeah, I think it's not many people doing exactly this kind of stuff, no. So I've always, since I've started making music and releasing albums many years ago, I've always had this urge to name the songs, the instrumental songs from natural phenomenons or weather types or these Arctic things. It can be like winter night, or it can be some cold thing, or it can be some icy titles to them. It can be dark or light, or all of this really runs through me. And because I've grown up with this, I think it's part of me. Mm-hmm. And the Northern Light is part of me, even though every time I see it, and I've seen it for 45 years, I still get mesmerized when it's dancing above the sky, because it's different every time. Mm-hmm. And it's just too big to grasp, too awesome to understand. I really understand why people pay a lot of money and spend a lot of time to come to the north to see it, because it's amazing when you get to experience it. And I think so too, even living there for so many years. Mm. And it's also a tribute. This album is also, and the music is a tribute to the people of the north that are used to fending for themselves. And the Norwegian government hasn't always been too nice to the north. They're located way south, it's way far up to the north, and they are making political decisions that is not always beneficial for the Sami culture or the reindeer culture or some local culture that is so different from the south. Mm-hmm. So when you get decisions like that, people are have to work with it or around it or find a way to live. But this is also people that are used to staying alive no matter what they're fighting. And it's also, of course, World War II. Finnmark was really badly suffering from being burnt down. People were still coming back after this evacuation in 1945. There's always been a thing with Finnmark. It's been the witch processes in the 1700s where people were told that they were doing witchcraft and were burnt on the fire. It was terrible things. These are monuments now in Finnmark where you can go and see this history and read the documents from the courts. But all this is part of the Finnmark history, and all this is just, to me, a big thank you to all these people that have gone through all this and built it to what it is today. It's a modern, great society with small villages and towns. Great people, open people, smiling people, working, hardworking people, and creative people. And yeah, so to me, it's just, I had to make this album. And like I say to everybody, and I almost hate myself for saying it, but this is the first album of a trilogy that I'm about to come with the next couple of years, because there's so much more for me to say about this. So, but I'm saying that I hate myself for saying it, because I'm struggling a bit to record the second album, but it's coming. I assure you, it will come. Hopefully next year, and I'm really excited for it as anyone.
Das war der hohe Norden sozusagen, der hohe Norden Norwegens. Und vom Norden Norwegens gehen wir jetzt in die weite Welt, möchte ich fast sagen. Denn ich habe mit einer Frau gesprochen, die zwar ursprünglich aus der Türkei kommt, die aber mittlerweile überall gelebt hat. Ihr hört also jetzt ein Gespräch mit Bajak Yavuz.
I'm from Turkey. Mm-hmm. I was born in Ankara, then I moved to Istanbul, then I moved to New York, then I moved back to Istanbul, and now I live in Berlin. I'm a jazz musician, former architect, and at some point in my life I was also a radio host like yourself. Yeah. I have 3 albums and 2 singles, mm-hmm. and all of them are very different, all recorded in different cities. My first one was recorded in New York, featuring amazing saxophone player David Liebman, like jazz hero, and Peter Eldridge from New York Voices. Those were my teachers. Then I moved to Istanbul, so I recorded my second album in Istanbul. And then some singles in between. Now this is my 3rd album recorded in Berlin. It's called Raum 610, and its name comes from actually a class at the Manhattan School of Music where I studied at. Because I really wanted to come together with my classmates, my German classmates who studied over there but now live in Berlin. Because the concept of, so this is inspired by progressive rock, and in progressive rock music, people spend a lot of time together and rehearse a lot together. So I thought, well, maybe we cannot spend that much time, but at least we know each other for 15 years or so. So it's a different kind of, almost like a band vibe. So that's why, and the classroom we rehearsed a lot when we were students was classroom number 610. To remind myself of times when we played just for playing, just for fun, and just for learning something, trying something, you know, not for the money. Of course we need all of that, but the main intention of it is just the music. Yeah, and trying stuff. So this is Raum 610. I named it German. It was Room 610.
Yeah.
Because I'm in Germany now. And ich lerne Deutsch. So yeah, this is one of the things I do. Yeah. So this wouldn't define me. Back in Turkey, I was also an academician, one of the founding teachers of Bahçeşehir Jazz Conservatory. And when we opened that conservatory, it was the only jazz conservatory in Turkey. So that's why I stayed long in Turkey, like for 10 years after New York. But then after a while, I wanted to be creatively challenged in a new place and move to Berlin.
Okay.
So I'm still working with them, more like advising their thesis, master's thesis. And I also have another quartet where we do more kind of, I don't like that term, world music.
But I see.
I'm going to say more pan-geographical. I think it's a more inclusive term than world music. So I'm implementing it here, pan-geographical music. It's nice. Also, it's kind of, people say, like musicology, ethnomusicology. Like ethnomusicology according to where? Because in Turkey, jazz is ethno. And here, Turkish music. Like, it's interesting. I always find these concepts, according to where it is ethnic music. The other band, we had thinking about the name, but it's going to be about the road. Because, for example, my mom is Caucasian, my father is Eastern Turkish, and at some point, because my mom was a doctor, I also lived, because there was compulsory service that you have to make service in the East when you're a public doctor, like a medical doctor. So we had to live in the East, and then we moved a lot. So I have my own road story. Then our drummer has his own story, because he was Jewish, but many generations before. But then they were kicked out and came to Turkey. they call them Sefera or something like that. And then they forgot their history and kind of because mm-hmm. you have to, you know, be part of the culture and blend in. Yeah, yeah. So he has his own story. Then he is married to a Kurdish wife. Yeah, yeah. And okay. So it's very mixed. And then our pianist has a Utku Yurttaş has a totally different road story. And now if we get a bass player, it's definitely going to be Apostolos Sideris. And he's Greek, but he lived in New York. Okay. And then he lived in Turkey because he was married with a Turkish woman. He fell in love, moved to Turkey. And now he moved to Paris. So it's just like we are moving a lot, you know. At some point we come together and then we move again. Yeah. So somehow we fell apart over this, but then met back in Germany. I saw Apostolos here. We played for years and then we met at Jazzhead again. I was like, Apostolos, let's play. So I kind of asked him to join. We were a trio, piano, drums and percussions and me electronics and voice. But then I asked him, like, maybe a quartet, why not? Like a regular quartet. So it's that. And I'm making a movie. The movie is about, I really like fiction. And I wanted to tell the story of, with the metaphors, of course. Fiction is a metaphor in the end, and fantasy literature, science fiction. To tell about the struggles of contemporary artists in countries like, maybe not financially supportive of their artists, let's say. And it's always you question yourself, like, I'm doing something, I don't know what I'm doing, nobody's helping me. That struggle. But we are, like, older than many people here. I'm 43 years old, and my partner, who's doing the visual work, yes. Serdar Yılmaz, he is almost 50 now. Mm-hmm. But we are still, even though we are, like, professors and stuff, we are still struggling to produce contemporary art when we are teaching. It's kind of hard to teach the youngsters because what are they going to do? You know, it's always confusing and you feel their responsibility. So I kind of wanted to tell this story through fiction. I wanted to create three lands. It's in Turkish called Yoklar, mm-hmm. which is kind of an absent land. Mm-hmm. It is where we are treated as absent. And then there's, of course, a limbo. And then there's a present land. For example, Jazzhead is a good example of present land. Like everybody's doing business mm-hmm. and shaking hands. So different worlds. But when we are making art, we are in the absent land, like really in our fantasy world, like Michael Ende's fantasy world. Mm-hmm. You know Michael Ende, the writer?
Yeah. Yes, Michael Ende, yeah.
Like the Unendliche Geschichte. Mm-hmm. So it has two colors, you know, the fantasy world and then the normal world. So we are also part of the normal world. But mm-hmm. sometimes people see, oh, contemporary artist, you know, she's crazy, especially in Turkey. A crazy woman, like single woman, old. So first we, of course, there's a performance aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And we premiered it at Boruzan Music Hall in Istanbul in March 1st. It's like a live-conducted performance art, and then visuals and stage. It's like a mixture of many things, three projectors showing three different visuals and time-lapses and everything. So the next step, it's a project of a couple outputs. The next step is the movie. Mm-hmm. Of course, there will be performances, and hopefully in the festivals, maybe we can show the movie and make a performance. And then I would like to maybe write an academic article about that journey and how we experienced the whole journey, what were our fears, what were our challenges, and then when we actually did the premiere, the joy of it, and all of that, you know, all of that. So that movie is really, I mean, I'm a jazz singer, but I'm making it's just crazy, a movie. We call it a fiction documentary.
Oh, fiction documentary.
That's what they call it. Yeah. Yeah, I hope it comes out this year or the next year, and I'm going to send it to you. Maybe festivals and stuff. Thank you, the listeners. Thank you for listening.
Das war Bajak Yavuz, und das soll es dann auch gewesen sein. Das war unsere Sendung von der Jazzerhead 2024. Ich hoffe, es hat euch ein bisschen gefallen, obwohl Frau Eichler nicht dabei war. Und das ist auch das Stichwort. Ich möchte, dass ihr Frau Eichler mit Flausch und Herzen bewerft. Ich möchte, dass ihr in den Kommentaren einfach Frau Eichler gute Besserung wünscht. Egal wie und wo, also bei Instagram, bei Mastodon, bei Blue Sky, Facebook, Threads oder via E-Mail oder bei unserem Blog, egal wie, wünscht Frau Eichler gute Besserung. Und deswegen verabschieden sich an dieser Stelle auch nicht zum einen und zum anderen, sondern nur zum anderen, und das bin ich. Und so bleibt mir an dieser Stelle nichts anderes, als zu sagen, bleibt uns gewogen, bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss.